You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 106. The last show was inspired by a single question from my dental hygienist, of all people. She asked me what was the one thing I would recommend doing in New Orleans right now. It kind of threw me at first, but it was a great question, and it led to what I thought was a fun conversation. So if you missed it, go back and check it out. Today's episode kind of ties into, longtime listeners know that I've been writing a book, The Beyond Bourbon Street Travel Guide to New Orleans, that'll be published on Globe Pequot Press. But as part of that, I was spending time, have been spending time in parts of the city I hadn't been in a while. And one of those is the Bywater. And we'll talk about what the Bywater is and where it is in a minute. And as part of that, I wandered into a restaurant that came highly recommended. It's called Capulet. It is co-owned by the chef, Mr. Chris St. John, who is with me today. And I, the bartender said, hey, why don't you meet Chris? Chris walked out and Chris said, hey, I love podcasts. Why don't we do a podcast? So welcome to the show, Chris. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing really well.
And among other things, Capulet is perfect in so many ways that we'll talk about, both geographically and in what you guys are trying to do. So we're going to have fun talking about Capulet and Chris's background and his experience. We're going to talk about the Bywater in general. But before we do that, I want to talk about a couple of sponsors that make the show possible, Chris. The first up is a longtime sponsor, Two Chicks Walking Tours. I don't know if you've ever been on a Two Chicks Walking Tour.
No, I haven't yet.
All right. Well, you should, and we will get you hooked up with Christine Miller, who's the head chick in charge. But one of the things that I love about Two Chicks is they keep their tour groups small, usually 10 or 12 or less. Their primary tour is in the Garden District, where you get to see the history and the architecture. You get to see where famous people lived and where they still live in some cases. Before Lafayette Cemetery Number 1 was closed, they would also take you in the cemetery. They have cemetery tours, if that's your thing. They also have a tour called Brothels and Bordellos, or Ladies of the Night. So it's kind of a combination of the French Quarter and the history of Storyville, which is really cool. But one of the things I love besides the smallness of the tours is that Christine works really hard with her co-workers to constantly learn and evolve these tours and come up with new things. So whatever you choose, you're going to have a great time, and you can use code BEYOND and save 15% over at twochickswalkingtours.com. Chris, the second thing that happens, and I think I mentioned this to you the other day, the most popular question we get in our Facebook community is, I've finally decided to move to New Orleans. Where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, having lived in a couple places, or I think like all over this city, that's a hard question to answer.
For sure.
Right? Every neighborhood's different. The neighborhoods evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if you're not from here, where do you get started? And that's why I reached out and asked Liz Wood of Liz Wood Realty to become a partner of the show. Because it's confusing. The Bywater, the Marigny, Uptown, Downtown, the Ninth Ward, Mid-City, Gentilly. Where do you start? Right?
Right.
As a New Orleanian, they're great to wander in and experience the best of all those. But if you're coming from somewhere else and trying to figure that out and all the nuances and what it means to be near a parade route or a second line route or, you know, in the triangle for in the box for Mardi Gras, that's really hard. And that's where Liz Wood comes in. She really, in my opinion, makes the process fun. And she's willing to work with people, whether they're looking to lease or to buy. And sometimes realtors are hesitant to deal with leases, but Liz is great at that. She's also an active member of our Facebook community. And so if you are looking to move, if you finally decided to make the move and come to New Orleans, reach out to Liz at lizwoodrealty.com and let her help you like she's helped many members of our community with their move to New Orleans. So with that, let's jump in and talk a little Capulet and a little Bywater. What do you say?
All right, sounds good.
All right, Chris. So first of all, let's talk about you. What's your experience? What's your background? How did you end up where we are today at Capulet?
So I've always been interested in food. I got my start working at a, I'm from New Jersey in the Philadelphia area originally, and I got my start working at the Lancaster County Farmers Market on the weekends. I made soft pretzels with a bunch of Amish women. So it was a little preteen me, a bunch of Amish women rolling out pigs in a blanket and making soft pretzels, but also being surrounded by fresh local produce, great proteins. I knew the butcher. I knew the candy woman. I knew the falafel guy. I still know them. And whenever I go back to my parents' house, you know, I make an effort to go to the market and still see everybody. But, you know, I was always cooking food as a kid. I was making the majority of dinners for my family by the time I was in seventh and eighth grade. And so food for me was always my expression. And, you know, I had different tastes come and go. Different things interested me. I danced for a little bit. I did theater for a little bit. I was really into film for a little bit, but food was always the one thing that stayed constant. And originally I was going to go to culinary school. And then at the behest of my mother, got a liberal arts education. And by the time I was done there, I had still been working in food for, you know, most of the time that I was there. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I know how to cook already. I'm going to move to New Orleans, where I love it, and just work in some restaurants down there.
So when did you move to New Orleans?
I moved to New Orleans in 2015.
Okay.
So getting on about 5 years now.
Uh-huh.
When I first moved here, I was working in the French Quarter a little bit at some tourist shops, and I started working at the Sneaky Pickle, which is also in the Bywater, which is a great, like, vegan-focused cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the Sneaky Pickle for 2.5, almost 3 years, which is really where I learned my love of, like, vegetable-based cooking. And while I had always, you know, grown up with local produce, Ben over at Sneaky Pickle, I would say, is better than almost everybody in the city, a few exceptions aside, at keeping everything as local as possible.
And they were one of the first that I can recall that really embraced, from a vegan vegetarian standpoint, also going really locally sourced, hyper local.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
yeah.
in the Bywater when they could get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very close. We actually did an earlier episode, I'll have to look that up and put it in the show notes, about vegan and vegetarian eating in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a couple years old, and in many ways it's outdated because that's
right.
changed so much. And certainly as we get into Capulet in a bit, you guys are a part of that. But that is such a more popular and more focused option for people, whether you're vegan or vegetarian or not, right?
Right?
There's so many more options.
Yeah.
So you worked at the Sneaky Pickle for a while, mm-hmm. and then where did you go from there?
After Sneaky Pickle, all the while I was, you know, always looking at spaces just on the off chance I found the right spot to open my own place. But after Sneaky Pickle, I went to Cane and Table in the French Quarter, a great cocktail bar yes. owned by, it's part of the Cure family. And that was, for me, really just a chance to learn about craft cocktails and beverage programs. I knew that I wanted to start my own restaurant. I was feeling really confident about my abilities in food and management, and I knew a fair bit about craft beer, but I didn't know anything about craft cocktails. I didn't know very much about wine, and so I said, I'm going to go bar back at Cane and Table and learn what I can. And while I was at Cane and Table was when I met my business partner, Steve. And the ball kind of got rolling on Capulet while I was still there.
Well, and Cane and Table, and you mentioned Cure up on Ferret,
mm-hmm.
they take their bar program and their cocktail program as seriously as chefs take. They apply the
oh, yeah.
same amount of thought to it as a chef does to food in terms of not only the mixes... Oh, Siri's jumping in. I'm not sure why. That's right, Siri. You're going to have to wait. It's not your opportunity to ask questions. And they very much take a chef-like approach, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and their preparations and their program. So that's a great sort of learning ground
mm-hmm.
there. And so then, when was it that you guys actually opened Capulet?
So Steve and I met at the beginning of 2017, but we didn't open Capulet until August of 2018.
And let's describe maybe we'll take a quick detour and say that Capulet is in the heart of the Bywater, and I think geographically pretty close to the center. I guess.
A couple blocks away.
Yeah, here or there. I asked you the other day the question I get a lot, which is, what's the difference between the Marigny and the Bywater?
Mm-hmm.
So what is your answer to that?
Oh, God, it's a tough one. And I know I'm going to make some people angry no matter which way I answer it.
That's why I let you answer first.
So maybe that's a great start with the Bywater. I think the Marigny is a little more, a little more buttoned up, a little cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bywater has changed a lot. Due to gentrification, mm-hmm. Especially after Katrina. And I think, more and more, gentrifiers and transplants like myself,
mm-hmm.
Honestly have been moving in, opening businesses. Houses have been popping up left and right in places that were formerly lots. I've only been here 5 years, but I started coming in 2013. And I was staying in the Bywater at the time. And I remember, every block had like a couple of empty lots, which are now all full of brand new housing. But, the Marigny is like a nice transition period or transition location from the French Quarter to the Bywater.
Mm-hmm.
The Bywater is, your kind of quintessential hip neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
in an up and coming city. You're going to find lots of queer folks and people with tattoos and punks. You're also going to find a lot of like very cute families, older people who have been here their whole lives, tons of street art. The food scene in the Bywater, ebbs and flows just like any hip neighborhood. But there are places that have been here for a while and there are places that come and go. And there are new places like Capulet that are here and hopefully we'll stay.
I think it was you. It might have been one of the bartenders that said to me the other day, it's sort of like a nice fade from the French Quarter.
Right.
You sort of slide from the French Quarter into the Marigny, which, some people that have been around a long time will gripe that Frenchman Street is what Bourbon Street was 20, 30 years ago. I'm not quite sure that's fair. But then you slide into the Bywater and it's yet quieter again and a little funkier, but it is a nice sort of natural fade into quiet. But you're right, like any major city, there is certainly a hipster it's certainly hipsterish.
Yeah.
But I think it has a nice mix, and people on the other side of that would complain certainly about gentrification. I do want to get into Capulet, but the one thing that strikes me, I thought about driving over here, is today is Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
And right down the street, right sort of where the Marigny ends and the Bywater begins, are a couple of really important things. One is the train stop where Homer Plessy was arrested, mm-hmm. by design so that they could challenge the segregation, these racist laws. And it ultimately became the court case that every American grew up in, mm-hmm. school learning Plessy versus Ferguson. It didn't turn out the way that they had hoped. It ended up with separate but equal. And in many respects, that's still being challenged today. But that was sort of the forefather to the civil rights movement. But then right near that, you have the B. Mike Studio.
Mm-hmm. Studio B
with just a ton of street art that in many cases tells the story of that sort of continuing fight of,
mm-hmm.
racial equality and equality for all people. There's a really great piece of artwork right across from Mike's place that has Pinchback right next to Plessy. And so the two characters get confused very often. Plessy was arrested on the train, ends up in Supreme Court. Pinchback ended up as the first African-American governor of a state in the U.S. He was acting governor in Louisiana for about 6 weeks. He had been lieutenant governor and was actually the second black lieutenant governor in Louisiana. But it's a really neat sort of history lesson, mm-hmm. there. And so as you come into the Bywater, I think you see that tension visibly.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is that before Katrina, the Bywater was very much a thriving neighborhood, but it was very much an isolated neighborhood. So I think if you lived here, you loved it. nobody would venture into the Bywater, and that has changed very much. And I think Capulet, like you mentioned, as well as plenty of other places we can talk about, has played a role in helping revive it as a community, I would argue. So let's talk about Capulet. First, the name.
Mm-hmm.
I think the name has a lot of interesting connotations, but why don't you tell listeners how you guys arrived at Capulet?
Yeah, of course. So for the listeners who don't know, naming a business is without a doubt the hardest part in starting a new business. And so we were actually sitting in the exact same room we are in right now, and we had a little team, and we were just spitballing ideas. You know, we thought about the Paladar route, where we include the number of our address in it. We thought about this and that, and we tried a bunch of names, and they were all garbage, for lack of a better word. Our cross street is Montague, and the manager of the warehouse, the business that shares the building with Capulet, said, oh, well, you know, the cross street's at Montague, why not call it Capulet from Romeo and Juliet? And we were all like, ha, 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 no. and then the more we thought about it, it kind of made sense because we'll get into more what Capulet does, but we do a lot of private events and weddings as well as being a cafe. And so we needed something totally nondescript in the name. So you could say, I'm going to a wedding at Capulet. I'm having coffee at Capulet. I'm going to a yoga class at Capulet. And the more we said it, the Romeo and Juliet connotations kind of fell away, and it started to become very comfortable and just seemed right. And especially once we started mocking up logos, I think that's when it really changed, to see it separate from this Shakespearean roots
right.
that we don't involve in any way, shape, or form. It just seemed right.
Mm-hmm. It's a neat, right. I think it hits it for that. Because as we get into what Capulet is, I was surprised at how many different things Capulet is
mm-hmm.
and how many different things you guys have going on. And to me, that reinforces that idea of really being a part of the community. And
right.
that's what it feels like here. And so that's probably a good segue. I don't even know where we start, so I'm going to toss that at you with, what is Capulet?
So my go-to answer when people ask, what do you do? What is Capulet? What's the concept? I say, we like to do breakfast, lunch, and weddings.
okay.
That's kind of my like quick
yep.
response. But to kind of drag it out a little bit, Monday through Friday, you can come in here in the morning through the afternoon, 9 to 3, and spend the day here. We have bottomless coffee. We have sandwiches and salads and different specials, all with an emphasis on local produce and sustainably raised meats. You know, it's a lunch spot. You can come in, grab a sandwich, and head out. We also have a craft cocktail program, which kind of has an emphasis on day drinking. We make a lot of shrubs with organic unfiltered apple cider vinegar, and we make kombucha cocktails, and basically things to make you feel a little bit better about day drinking. especially, you know, the Bywater does have a lot of Airbnbs, so you get mm-hmm. a lot of people coming through who might be spending their days drinking. So we like to start them off with a healthier cocktail.
Well, you know, if I can interrupt that a little bit, though. So I was exploring the Bywater last week as part of the book and came in and was looking for, I was eating my way across the Bywater and wanting to be mindful of that. And I'm drawing a blank now with the gentleman that served me at the bar, but mm-hmm. walked me through the whole program, right,
mm-hmm.
and had a really great non-alcoholic cocktail
mm-hmm.
With a combination of strawberry plus maybe lime or mm-hmm. Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but it was really great and had this wonderful, I mean, you mentioned salads and sandwiches, but incredibly fresh
mm-hmm.
salad with a lot of depth to
yep.
it. And I avoided protein. I wanted something light. Mm-hmm. Had, frankly, the best Brussels sprouts I've ever had.
Thank you.
Really, really good. And what you saw in here in the middle of the day was kind of a combination. You had mm-hmm. people dropping in. You had people that probably were staying in the neighborhood. But you also had people that walked in and clearly knew the bartender.
Right.
And knew people and were hanging out. What I love about the space, and we'll take a couple of pictures and put it on the website, is that And we'll talk about the co-working space maybe too, but in the, I'll call it the lunch spot, it's big. It's airy.
Oh, it's big.
Which I guess is good and bad.
Right.
But you can come in and grab a sandwich or a drink or a salad or all of that and catch up with a friend,
mm-hmm.
have a business meeting. I was working. You could sit and work in that space.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super, super noisy. There's a good vibe. But just in that one space, you have the bar. You have these big tables where people can sit. And you have these little nooks with mm-hmm. kind of a lounge feel to it.
Yeah,
a little bit, right?
We have a bunch of couches and armchairs and coffee tables and a little reading nook on one side and like a little more social ones on the other. You know, we have so much space.
You do.
And so, especially as we grow too, we just want to have more and more sides to what you can do here.
It was amazing to me just seeing that, right? Like even for, as you say, quote unquote, just breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. And you guys serve the breakfast through lunch.
Oh yeah.
So you can have
until closed
breakfast or lunch, but you can kind of make it the way you want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to the bartender. I wanted to learn, and I was able to sit there and have this great food and also interact with people that were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really neat thing. So is that, that's 5 days a week or 6 days
a week? Yeah, so that's 5 days a week. We're open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and then the weekends and most evenings, not every evening, we dedicate to events.
Sure. And then on Thursday night, you guys have this jazz jam and happy hour, right?
Right. So that's, we're about to hit the 1 year anniversary of the jazz jam, actually, in a week or two. It started as an idea with some friends of the business who wanted to start a jam. And we, as a business, wanted to open our doors to the public at night a little bit more. Kind of step by step. So we chose Thursday night because Fridays and Saturdays are often booked. We got a great house band led by Or Shivali, who does stuff all over the city. He's in a bunch of different bands. Sometimes you can find him at the Foundation Room of House of Blues. You can find him at St. Rock Tavern. You can find him on Frenchman Street. You can find him playing with Kumasi, the Afrobeat band. But Or really helped lead the charge with this jam, and it's really turned into a pretty cool scene. We have tons of different musicians just coming through the space on Thursday nights. We've had vocalists and tap dancers and rappers and poets, all sorts of different musicians come, and anybody who sits in with the band and plays gets a discount on drinks as well.
Nice. And so that's an opportunity again. You know, the whole Airbnb and short-term rental thing has impacted first the French Quarter, but then when they sort of put the kibosh on that, the Marigny and the Bywater, in a way that had, and some people will argue, did destroy the neighborhood because you would end up with companies owning a block of units, and all of a sudden it's not an older person who has the other side of a shotgun to rent out.
Right.
It's all of a sudden it's tourists with wheeled baggage coming down the street, and there's no neighborhood. But I think things like the jam and having kind of a gathering spot, and there's plenty of places that are great for hanging out in the Bywater. My hope is that helps bring the community back.
Yeah.
You know, because
sure
the tourists are great and many people listening are tourists, but I want people to explore our city that live here all the time.
For sure.
My wife was like, I'm not going to the Bywater. And I said, you know, you are taking a pre-Katrina view of the Bywater. The Bywater is a wonderful place to come hang out and spend a day or an evening or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then you guys do a ton of special events, right?
Yes, we do. We do a lot of weddings. We do nonprofit events. We've been, now that we're kind of, now that the ball's kind of rolling on the business, we are slowly being able to do more and more community events. We did an event with Dancing Grounds, which is a great organization. When the Sneaky Pickle had a fire, we threw a fundraiser for them. We did a fundraiser for PFLAG, with an LGBTQIA plus organization run by a drag king, Johnny Passion, his Winter Wonderland. You know, we did an Earth Day event. We've done album release parties. And I think as we keep kind of progressing and really, you know, get our feet beneath us and get our heels dug into the ground, we're really going to be able to start doing more and more community events.
Well, and you have that space, as you mentioned. Right. It's such a big space. And we were talking the other day about, I think people sometimes think you come to the Marigny and the Bywater, and the first question is, well, where do you park or how do you get here? And your particular street, because there's a church across the street and a warehouse, it's pretty easy, at least during the day, to find daytime parking. There's also the Blue Bike program in the city. So this is, you can easily take a bike into the heart of the Bywater. Mm-hmm. And I know somebody's going to ask, and I see questions in the Facebook group. My feeling is the Bywater is perfectly safe during the day. I think at night, like any urban place, you want to be careful. You probably don't want to be alone. All the things you would do in any big city. But I feel very comfortable in the middle of the day wandering through the Bywater.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, a city is going to be a city. Keep your wits about you. Don't be a goofball. And you're going to be fine.
Those are pretty good life rules to follow. You know? It is a place where the Bywater is full of chances to sort of do urban exploring. There are lots of abandoned places. There's lots of street art. There's lots of kind of remote places at the far or the lower end of the Bywater, right where the Industrial Canal meets the Mississippi River. Some people call it the end of the world's end. It's great to go out there, but you're isolated there. So don't go out there at night by yourself. Don't go out there if you're not familiar with it. Don't wander into the abandoned buildings there. But it's a wonderful place to go just kind of check out. And Capulet, again, to me, is very central in and probably the biggest place in the Bywater. But you guys do, besides those special events, you do a bunch of weddings.
Mm-hmm.
You have a really neat rooftop space to be able to use.
Yep.
I was up there the other day, and I also like that it's open during the day. So when the weather's nice, you want to just go hang out, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, the roof deck's great. It's always open to the public. We also have yoga classes Wednesday mornings at 7:30 a.m. And when the weather's right, sometimes the classes are up there on the roof. They're led by a great person, TQ Sims. They're a great yoga instructor, and it's a donation-based sliding scale class. Mm-hmm. And you can come in and have your yoga class, and by the time the class is over, we're open for breakfast. You get a little bit of a discount on your breakfast, grab a cup of coffee, and then head out on your day.
And then, as if all that wasn't enough, you're in the main space, and then you can slide back this big door, and we're in the space we're in now, which is this beautiful co-working space.
Yeah, so this is called The Warehouse. This business opened up, I think, in 2016. It might be 2015, though. And it's just a shared co-working space where you can start with renting a shared desk all the way up to like a corner office that can fit multiple desks for your company. It's a really great business run by really great people. It's a gorgeous space back here. And as a restaurant owner, I certainly can't complain about having a built-in client base sharing a building with me.
Absolutely. Our business was called Teddy's Grill in Gentilly. And the business was two parts. It was families and older people that basically used us as their dining room every night. And it was at the time salespeople coming through the neighborhood all day long. And in many sense, the co-working space is like the modern day version of that.
Right.
And it's a large space. And part of the reason I bring it up is lots of people coming to visit. And a lot of times we get people who ask, hey, I'm coming to New Orleans for an extended stay, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I'm going to rent a home or I'm going to stay in a small place. And we'll kick around some ideas for that in a little bit. But this is the kind of place that you can make your home for that stay. Mm-hmm. So you can come have breakfast or lunch. As you mentioned, there's the yoga program. You could rent a desk. Mm-hmm. You could work out in the main room if you wanted to. But there's a lot of options to make this sort of your home.
Yeah.
Or if you're here in New Orleans and you're looking to work in a different part of the city or to meet somebody on this side of town, there's just so much. Like this building, just like every time I walk in here, Chris, it unfolds a little bit more. Right? There's a lot of parts to it.
Yeah,
which has got to be fun and a little crazy as a business owner and a chef. And it feels like the community has embraced you guys.
I think so. You know, I think I was definitely lucky enough to have spent, you know, I was living in the Bywater for years. Mm-hmm. And I really did feel, you know, like a big part of the community when we finally opened our doors. So I think that definitely helped with the acceptance of our business in this neighborhood. But, you know, if you go to any of the bars here in the Bywater, there is so much community. J&J Sports Lounge, Marquis Bar, BJ's Lounge, Vaughn's, you know, like all of those places. If I go anywhere, I know half of the bar. And that's just from being around, people talking to each other, you know, supporting each other. It's just such a crazy strong sense of community. You know, I remember just being astonished when someone's dog, you know, ate too many rib bones on the 4th of July and got sick. Within like a week and a half, J&J's had put together a massive silent auction fundraiser with all of the bar regulars all participating, giving what they could to help raise money to save this dog. Just things like that are really just what I love about living here and being a part of this neighborhood.
And that's one of the things I think, again, the Bywater is certainly an area that has been gentrified and continues to be, and at the same time has longtime residents. But I do think it has managed as it has evolved, and I know some people, I will get hate email for it. I feel like it has still retained and maybe continued to grow that community feel. It is without a doubt not the same community it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but it is not like the upper end of Bourbon Street. And what I mean by that is the lower end of Bourbon Street on this side is very much a neighborhood.
Right.
And the upper end near Canal is very commercial and strip joints and t-shirt shops and
right.
and all that stuff. And while the makeup of the Marigny and the Bywater have changed, they are communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the questions I got, so we have a Patreon group, so people that support us mm-hmm. monthly. And so when I ask for questions, we usually start there. And Dan Tamura says, he doesn't really ask a question, but he, a little bit, he says, can you talk about that feeling of what he calls the bodega culture and Frady's in particular mm-hmm. and what that means to the Bywater?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Frady's, maybe you can explain what Frady's is, but very much that idea of community in the Bywater.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really know what the question is, but I mean, I can talk about Frady's.
Yeah.
Is a great little shop where you can get food to go. You know, you can get a pack of smokes if that's your thing. You can get a snack.
But it is sort of, and, to me, like a little community center in
yeah,
a sense,
for sure.
right? Like, just like I think in a sense what you guys are trying to build with Capulet. It's a place where if you go there, you'll know somebody.
Yeah, you're going to run into someone.
Right? And you can hang out on the corner and that kind of thing. And I think it's just because it's been there a long time and they're like what you're describing, they are true to, they are a neighborhood place.
Yeah.
That embraces it. The bars you mentioned, Bud
right.
Ribs, Marquis, all those kind of, Vaughn's. Vaughn's is probably the most well-known outside of New Orleans because of the movie, the HBO series, Tremé.
Mm-hmm.
Kermit's probably helped that a little bit too. But I think the Bywater is full of those kind of places. As I look at just some questions real quick, Chris, people asked about safety and you and I talked about that. I feel perfectly safe walking from Esplanade through the Marigny. You come across Noka, you come across Press Street, you get into this area where we are. My mother, who is very, very Catholic, and don't take that badly, Mama, it's just a fact, we both know. Across the street from here is the Father Cielo Shrine, which is beautiful. So there's something to see there, tons of street art, and you can keep kind of progressing your way towards the Industrial Canal. There's Pizza Delicious, Bratz, y'all. By the way, we're recording this in carnival season. Have you had the pretzel king cake concoction over at Bratz?
Not yet.
It is phenomenal. Purist will say it's not a king cake, but they make a fresh pastry style pretzel. They slice it open. They put a vanilla lemon cream inside it. And one of the things my kids pointed out that we missed is I said, well, there's no baby. And one of the children said, they put three chocolate chips in there and those were the babies. And she was right. So for people concerned about all the plastic babies piling up in the world, they don't do it that way. Fabulously delicious. But again, two spots. Then right there. And I'm kind of answering a whole bunch of questions here. There's the Crescent Bridge, and or not Crescent Bridge, the Rusty Rainbow Bridge.
Yep.
and Crescent Park. And that has really, in my mind, transformed this area as well.
Yeah, I mean, when I used to live across the street from J&J's and work at Cane and Table in the French Quarter, I would just hop right on my bike and then go right by the joint was the closest entrance to Crescent Park. I would ride my bike the length of Crescent Park, past the Rusty Rainbow, take the elevator with my bike up because I was lazy about it and didn't feel like carrying my bike up a bunch of stairs, take the elevator back down, and then I was right there in the quarter. So, I mean, it's definitely made getting over here. I mean, it's beautiful to walk through the Marigny. It's beautiful to get over here through Crescent Park. It's quick to get here down St. Claude Avenue.
Well, and what you just described couldn't have happened 4 years ago. So yeah. Like you would not have, or 5 years ago, you would not have been able to do what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The Crescent Park didn't really exist as it exists.
Right.
And so what Chris is describing is right. You can kind of wander the block by block through the neighborhoods, or you can hop on this bike path, walking path, right along the river and right along the wharfs and come straight into the heart of the Marigny and the Bywater.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that on your own bike. You can do it walking. You can do it on the blue bikes that are easy to rent. And this Rusty Rainbow Bridge, it's a footbridge with a lot of steps, pretty steeply, that goes over the railroad tracks.
Right, and it comes down right at the end of Piety Street, right where you have Peach the Delicious, Bratzial, Euclid Records. It's all right there.
Yep.
Capulet's not too far either.
That's right. That's right. So we don't want to lose sight of that. But it is, it's all pretty, that's the other thing. It's pretty condensed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, you just rip through a whole bunch of different experiences. You can get great views of the city from downriver, from downtown, looking back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the river traffic, and it's really nice. It's a different view than you get if you go to the Moonwalk in Waldenburg Park. And then just the places you just described, Euclid Records is such a great record shop.
Mm-hmm.
If you are into vinyl at all, it's a place you should definitely stop. But right there, you're right, within a few blocks, you can go get pizza, you can get brats and pretzels, you can come to Capulet and have
You're right down the street from Elizabeth's.
Oh, yep. Terrific breakfast place. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked if the candied bacon was as good as advertised there.
I mean, I think it's pretty good.
I think it's pretty darn good. I like that you can get healthy options in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
As you're wandering around, you'll see, like particularly near Noka and Press Street, there are community gardens there and a whole project about that. I think that there's so much, as you continue down towards Bacchanal, which many people listening have probably heard of, a great place to while away an afternoon and listen to live music. You have Parlo Beer Lab there.
Mm-hmm. Parlo is great. One of my closer friends actually was their head brewer for a while. Great beers at Parlo, and I feel like they're just getting better and better every year. Like you said, Bacchanal's right there by Parlo. If you're looking to get a coffee, further up Poland Avenue is Solo Espresso, run by Lauren. She's great, and that's like another community hub for sure. I'm there every Saturday morning, and it's, you know, I spend an hour there just seeing tons of people that I know. There's a great pop-up there called The Lost Line. Just around the block, there's River Queen Greens, an urban farm run by two amazing women, Cheryl and Annie, who are growing amazing greens right here in the neighborhood.
And again, I think you start to, you see it at Capulet and the menu. The salad I had the other day, on the surface, I'm not vegan or vegetarian by any means. And when they asked if I wanted a protein, I thought, no, I want to taste this. And it was so delicious.
Thank you.
I think you had Parmesan and fresh greens, and some of the greens are hyper local, and the some pickled vegetables. And you mentioned, so you can have a really good, healthy meal. You can have an indulgent meal. You can do that here. You mentioned the joint, really good barbecue place. You can walk by almost all hours of the day and night and smell the smoking going on there.
Yeah, I lived right around the corner from the joint, and just walking out of my house every morning, it smelled incredible.
Right. And again, it's just so condensed. We were talking about Bacchanal and Parlo. From there, you were very close to the end of the world, as I described it on the levee. That's a great place, by the way. You see people walking dogs, and there's the Music Box Village there.
We were huge fans of the Music Box. Jay, aka Rusty Laser, is super involved with that project. Sid, their manager, actually rents office space here at the warehouse. And if you haven't been to the Music Box Village, it's so worth a
visit. How would
you
describe it?
I would describe the Music Box Village as an architectural instrument.
Okay.
So it's a giant outdoor space with tons of houses or house-looking structures and platforms and sculptures, all of which are different, unique musical instruments. So it's really just at the intersection of architecture and music and sound. And they've really built the program into something incredible, starting from like a traveling village to, you know, the New Orleans Airlift Music Box Village, which is permanent. And they have tons of touring musicians that come through, and they all do something different with the space. I saw Gogol Bordello there do some sort of art house performance art piece. Tank and the Bangas, a great local New Orleans band, did their Alice in Wonderland show, is the only word I can call it. You know, and then you have like more traditional groups like Snarky Puppy was here very recently at the Music Box, and they were just kind of using the instruments for fun. Animal Collective's been there, Ghost Note, and they all do something totally different with the space, with the instruments. It's really incredible. And they do open hours there. They do art markets there. It's available to rent for private events as well there.
Yeah, and I think you hit it. Your description of the intersection of music and architecture is a really good one.
Yeah.
I first, probably like a lot of people, got exposed to it when they, early on, they were kind of doing these little traveling installations around the city. They had it in City Park.
Right.
They have for several years now in the kids portion of Jazz Fest, they do an installation.
Right.
Which, whether you're a kid or have a kid or not, when you go to Jazz Fest, go see it. One, the kids area is kind of tucked in this little somewhat quiet area behind the Gentilly stage. But last year it was a 3 or 4 story. It was like they took a part of it, right, and put it there. And my kids could not get enough of it.
Yeah.
And then I was ready to keep playing, and they wanted to leave because every part of the 4-story structure was musical.
Right.
Whether it was the rails or the floorboards or the rocking chair or whatever it is. And that's a good way to sort of whet your appetite.
Yeah.
But to me, that alone is a destination in the Bywater, is worth coming to the Bywater. And you can eat and drink your way through at a place like Capulet, there and back. And really, there's a lot to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to do that's different than maybe what people think about when they think about New Orleans, in my opinion. And great architecture. Very different architecture than, say, in the Garden District. But some of the oldest architecture, you know, you can find many, many Creole cottages and 150 to 200-year-old homes here. You see the brightness of the colors, which very much reflects our Caribbean roots. That reminds me of American Bywater Bistro with Larry Miller and Nina Compton, who I should do a quick plug here, if you don't mind, for one of my other sponsors on the other end of town is the old Number 77 Hotel, which, among other things, features Larry and Nina's first restaurant in the city, Compare La Pen. But the reason I like the old Number 77 is one of the reasons I like the Bywater. It's very inclusive. It's a place where you're not going to feel out of place if you're by yourself or you're a couple or you're gay or you're whatever you might be. It's a very inclusive place, and they take that seriously. They also incorporate art and Louisiana, New Orleans art, much like the Bywater. So there are these artist loft suites that are curated by Louisiana artists. They have Wear Your Art, which is based down here. There's like an L-shaped hallway that they've made into an art gallery, and Wear Your Art curates it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they'll highlight different artists or different parts of the year or different communities in our community. They have interior rooms with no windows, which seems odd, except that if you've been out all night partying, a room with no windows in New Orleans is grand. They have been gracious enough to allow me to use their artist studio to do some work. And they have an artist in residence program where they have a twin size loft bed and a drafting table, and they provide art supplies, and they have artists both local and from across the country come in and work in their space. So they're a great place. They're at 535 Chapitulas. And if you use the code BBOld77, you can get 25% off. Plus, you get some credits for free coffee at their coffee bar downstairs. That is a great place, and in many respects, the Warehouse District is night and day different than the Bywater. So if you were walking, and that would be a long walk, you are in the Warehouse kind of arts district. You come through the Central Business District. You get to the French Quarter. You get to the Marigny. That would be a very long walk. You get to the Bywater. But culturally, that's a neat experience, actually.
Yeah,
and if you kept going the other way, you get into the Garden District and Uptown. Mm-hmm. So in the span of probably 6 miles, you could see 300 years of history and the good, the bad, the odd, the adjustments of New Orleans. If you wanted to stay in this area, there are, we mentioned Airbnbs and short-term rentals, but there's the, I think about the, hope I don't screw up the name, the R&B Bed and Breakfast on Frenchman Street is a cool, funky little place. There's a couple other, I think, Bed and Breakfasts nearby.
There's the Maisant is down the street on Burgundy. Hotel Peter and Paul is in the Marigny, but
that's
just
a fabulous
10-minute walk.
Yep.
Relatively new, but a really great spot with Elysian Bar run by Bacchanal. Really great beverage program, really great food.
I use that as my late afternoon working space sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice spot. The Country Club's not far from here, which is a fun, kind of crazy place, great place for brunch. Mm-hmm. The Country Club, just as an aside for listeners, until, I don't know, it might be 7 or 10 years ago now. The Country Club was a very gay-friendly place that on Saturdays or Sundays, I think, the pool was clothing optional.
Yeah, so...
Is that how it worked?
I mean, the history of the Country Club stretches back pretty far.
Yeah.
It was, I think, really the center of gay life here in New Orleans for a while. In the late 80s and 90s, and it was a clothing optional pool. It was, you know, largely gay men in attendance. And, you know, as times change and things change and businesses change, it remained a clothing optional pool for quite a while. And then they switched it up, I want to say, like 6 years ago.
But it is a great place to go. You can get a day pass and go swimming, and it's a great place to go drink, to have brunch, to hang out, and again, not far from here.
Yeah, and you know, as a queer individual myself, it's still a very largely queer space, and super welcoming. They have their drag brunch, but it's great to just go spend a day there at the pool.
Yeah, and it's just a neat space. I bring it up because people ask all the time. And again, you know, when we talk about places that are LGBTQ friendly, it also means that they're friendly to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, back to the old 77, that's one of the things that attracted me to them is that New Orleans has always struggled with, say, racial tension. And we did an episode about the Upstairs Lounge fire, which was the largest attack against the LGBTQ community until the Pulse nightclub shooting. And at the same time, New Orleans has been a place that has been a haven for people and I think continues to be and maybe is more welcoming than ever. And that's why I highlight it. It has this kind of history that people chuckle at now, but it still fits in perfectly with the Bywater in terms of being, it's maybe more inclusive than ever. It's, you know, it's a great place to go. We recommend it frequently for like a Sunday brunch. People want to go with a family or go hang out there. I think the point of the Bywater to me and the reason that when you said, hey, I would love to do the podcast, is that there's so much here. And it is a very different experience than you can have just a couple miles away. Mm-hmm. And it's very approachable. So again, Capulet, just when I walked in, full of people and full of people visiting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go some places and everybody's head down and has your head in the phone and trying to just grab a meal and go. And that's not so New Orleans in terms of culture. But when you come over here to the Bywater, it feels like there's still a little bit slower community vibe to it.
Yeah.
And that's the space and the food that you guys have created that does that, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we've hit it, but I certainly feel like there's absolutely no reason people shouldn't come check out the Bywater as part of their visit to New Orleans.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to do, and we only just touched on music, but lots of music, lots of artists you probably never heard of. The Jam, like the other day, I think I told you, I assumed it was a private event because I knew you guys did private events. And then I have since mentioned it to people and they're like, oh yeah, it's great. Because the house band's good and you never know who's going to sit in and it's just kind of a good vibe. I mentioned to Chris before we came on, I think we'll figure out a way to do a live podcast from here at some point because you have the equipment and we'll bring some people in and sell some food and drink, but maybe do some sort of podcast with somebody else in the community here.
Great.
Yeah. You know, Chris, I appreciate so much you taking the time on a busy Monday afternoon to do this. Capulet is a place that I'm guessing a lot of people not from here haven't heard of, but they should put it on their list. They should not be afraid to come to the Bywater, and they should come hang out, spend a day wandering around, come day drink here at the Capulet. Have a good meal, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting. Again, I tend to want a side of beef or pork in every dish, and the food's just fabulous.
Thank you
so
much.
And fresh. And I didn't even have a cocktail. I had a kombucha-based drink that was just delicious.
Good.
And I would not have, when I went home and told my wife that I had that, she's like, this is the second time this week you've had kombucha. You've never had kombucha in your life. And it's part of that connecting to the community, you know, the fresh herbs and the gardens and all of that stuff.
And just to plug that kombucha, by the way, real quick, that's Insanity, which is locally made as well. Insana T-E-A at the end.
Right. And we'll put that, so this is episode 106. People will be able to find links to the show notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/106. I'll get some links from you. We'll certainly put Capulet there so people can find out about it. Again, breakfast and lunch every day. You can come for the Jazz Jam on Thursday nights. And if you are thinking about hosting an event, whether it's your wedding or a special event, again, we'll put the links. You check it out. One of my friends, Valerie Gernheiser, runs Sapphire Events. And I know you guys do some weddings and events with them. They do these tremendous events, and the space here is perfect for that. So if you're looking for a place to get married or looking for a place for a unique event, remember Chris and Capulet.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you again so much for doing this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, of course. This is great.
Thank you. Hey, guys, again, we'll put all the links over in the show notes at beyondbourbonst.com.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.